watching the One Piece.
We are!
Hey everyone, welcome back to We Are Watching One Piece, episode 1098. That's not the number of this episode, but it's the number of the episode that we watched.
It feels like it.
In fact, we're like a tenth of that.
Yeah, I'm not complaining about how long our show's gone on, to be fair. It's been great. My favorite part of getting set up now weekly. Every Sunday, I watch an episode of anime. I'm like, wow, good episode of anime. I message my good friend Jory, hey, I'm ready to record when you are. And I get this little notification at the bottom of my screen that says, Jory's Steam library is now available. Every time. One of these days, I'm just going to say that just to get access. Didn't they just make a big change to family sharing? I remember reading a thing about it, and I was like, can't I already do that?
The big change that they're doing is if you do family share, you can play someone's games when they're playing a game. But you can't play the same game at the same time.
So I don't have to trick you into setting up for podcasting.
Yeah.
To pay fucking Balatro or whatever.
The only asterisk is it's not like Xbox or PlayStation where you can play the same game at the same time. Mm-hmm. It'll just be you can play other games in the library at the same time, which is a big change.
That's a huge change, yeah, but we can't, I guess, because we have used that to play Pirate Warriors together. Only yes. One of us had to buy it, which was great. I mean, it still is. We could still play it. They're still putting out DLC for that, actually. So I don't think the Roger DLC has come out yet.
Yeah, I think that's the... Is that the second or third pack?
I think it's the third pack. Because the second one had Uta, which I've not tried yet.
I might need to boot that up then.
Yeah, boot up the Uta, the Buta. I did play the Yamato stuff for a while. I need to get back to it. Anyways, this is a One Piece podcast. We talk about One Piece every week. My name's Joe. That's Dory, the only one. We watched an episode this week. 1098. We're almost to 1100. Which feels insignificant. Like, I keep noticing that, like, we're close to, like, a new round number. But after, like, 1,000, I feel like it's maybe just not as big a deal.
And because they, because of how they don't, like, try and match milestones to episode numbers, because you're adapting manga, which manga definitely does that, we don't get the crazy episodes at like, big numbers. That's why it happens at like 1076, shit like that. Like,
yes, they did do a special thing like for 1000. Not that it was they just kind of made a mountain out of a molehill, and I like that sequence and everything. There's value to it, but then 1015 is the big one because that was chapter 1000, and those were great episodes. I'm trying to think if there's been anything recently like that in the manga, probably, that I'm just not thinking of. The manga's been crazy. And I mean, I guess you can, you're now seeing what people were calling crazy like a year ago, because this episode's like, no, Lucci's just showing up. Fuck you. He's here. Even Vegapunk's like, no, please. I don't want to do this.
Please get me out of here.
I know I've been asking for this for years and you've been seeding it in the narrative, but I'm not ready. Kind of nice that he just shows up and there's not some big, like, I think it's nicer for me that it's not like, yes, he showed up at the end of Dressrosa, but it's not like, he's like, oh, I'm going to go to this place and wait for Luffy. It's not like it's a thing that we've been seeing for a long time.
Yeah.
It's like, maybe, I mean, now that we're watching weekly, maybe 2 months ago, he was like, oh, we're going to this place at the exact same time. Like, it's just kind of a coincidence, which I think is the right way to do it, at least for me, for my sensibilities. Not really the point of this episode, but it is the cliffhanger it ends on, spoilers. There's actually kind of a longer recap in this episode than usual, which is fine, because there's still a shit ton of stuff that happens, or at least is talked yeah. about. Happens maybe isn't the right word, but there's a lot of world building and exposition and stuff that we're gonna get to talk about. Also in the recap, I know we talked about the Lady Giant last time, and like how it's funny that she's just like a regular One Piece woman drawn to scale, unlike the two giant men who have distinct like designs based on the fact that they're giants. I also just think it's funny that she's there next to two characters we recognize, and I'm like, who should I know who she is? Who is she?
Yeah,
is she gonna come up later? Because her face is kind of hidden, but like, she does not have a distinct design
no.
by One Piece women standards. Is this like a DEI inclusion? Why is she here? Is she anime only? The Toei was like, we need more diversity. It's National Women's Day when this episode, like, when that episode came out last weekend, which I don't even think it was, but. I don't think I riffed on that last time, but I remember thinking it last time. Who is she? 4 minutes to recap, which isn't even that long by One Piece standards, but long for recently standards. But last time we left off with learning about a big old robot. I guess it was built 200 years ago. Or no, it was built 800 years ago, Vegapunk says. It attacked Marisua 200 years ago. That was, I think, my confusion where I was like, that number seems small. But it was just that it attacked 200 years ago. Vegapunk is very dramatic in this episode. He announces in a big, big way, and there's a big close-up on him every time. And then sometimes he's like, it doesn't actually go anywhere. My partner, my now spouse, does that. Or they start a sentence. Like, y'all ever think about... just kidding. I don't have an end of that sentence. They do that all the time, where they start to tell a joke and then realize they don't have a punchline. That's what Vegapunk does in this episode. It's very endearing. There's got to be a better way to describe a cartoon character than saying he's animated. But
he is animated, though.
By One Piece standards.
He has a lot more motion to him than a lot of characters do.
Yeah, I feel that way about just like some of these episodes in general. Like there is, and I loved Wano and the tone that Wano had, but there is like a vibrant life breathed into these episodes. Like there's a bit in this where Luffy's trying to get the big robot to act up or to wake up, I guess. Like, he would act up if he woke up, I guess. But he's standing in its mouth and he like reaches a big hand and just pats it on the head. And it definitely feels like post Gear 5, they're playing with Luffy's rubber in a way that they didn't before. Like, I don't think we've ever seen him just use Gear 3 or like get big for a bit. Like, there are bits in these episodes that feel so fresh and exciting, especially maybe it's especially after Wano was part of it.
It's the I feel like there's a shonen comparison of like, maybe in Dragon, maybe it's happened in One Piece and I'm just forgetting it. They get a touch of the power and now it's like going, they're like be able to call to it sometimes. So now Luffy Luffy and everything around him is more cartoony now that he's unlocked Gear 5.
Yes, we have entered the goofball zone and we cannot go back. And so this is also true of the animators. They're like, no, we can't stop being goofballs. Which there's a really fun sequence where Vegapunk's giving a bunch of exposition and the scene is really exciting and pretty for, I mean, I shouldn't say no good reason, because the reasons that it's fun to watch, that's a good reason, but I don't know the way to say that it's really good, but also I'm kind of surprised that they went. We always say, like, I didn't have to go that hard. But I'm now, like, I want to reframe that, too. I'm so glad they did, when so many other people would phone it in.
I think I figured it out after going through, like, Dressrosa, and Whole Cake was pretty good, but it wasn't, like, anything super crazy compared to what we've got. When they got to do the cool stuff in Wano, they like, oh, fuck, I want to have fun at my job now, so they're just constantly doing that.
Yeah. Like, wait a minute, I can, like, do weirds? I can make decisions? What the fuck? I love Whole Cake, but mainly on a story note. Like, I wouldn't say that I'm blown away by adaptation or animation decisions, which you do kind of start saying when you're in Wano.
As soon as you see the art style change as they're flying into Wano. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, fuck, we're really in it now.
We're doing stuff. And it's great, and I'm glad that they kept doing stuff. Can you imagine if it just went back to boilerplate, Toei, like, it looks like Whole Cake again? It'd be a good bit, to some extent, but, God, I can't also, I'm like, and I liked Film Red, maybe less than a lot of people did, I think it's good. I am really excited for whatever the hell they do next, movie-wise, just on a visual standpoint.
Because they've gotten better. Two, that movie's going to get to actually use Gear 5, so we're going to get some cool stuff.
Full-on rubber hose.
What if Luffy does a Gear 5 punch and the, like, impact frames are all, like, he's forcing the bad guy through every style that the show's been in? So, like, punches him and he, like, degrades back to episode 1 One Piece character style.
That'd be such a good fucking bit. They need to let us in the booth.
Yeah, please. let us cook.
Yeah, they need to really, like, I don't know. That's why I love animation, and I don't think a lot of modern animation really takes advantage of it. I guess there's Spider-Verse, which I think those movies are visually pretty, at least. But just, like, you can just make shit turn into other shit.
Yeah.
We need to be taking advantage of this.
We need to do more of the Looney Tunes one, Duck Amuck stuff. We gotta do way more stuff like that.
One of the highest points of cinema, Duck Amuck, which I think I brought up when we did our Gear 5 episodes.
You did.
It's still true.
That's why I could remember the name of it, because I remember I liked that short a lot as a kid, but I didn't remember any of the names.
Revolutionary. Anyways, big robot. I guess we can start talking about the plot. There's a big robot. They just call him the Iron Giant. The subs I had, fan subs, I was just complaining about them in the Discord. They don't capitalize the Iron Giant. I know that popular animated film from the time that we were kids called the Iron Giant, but I'm like, it just reads to me like a proper name when you, I guess, yeah. Because it's two words. He's here. The Iron Giant looks different than I remember. But Luffy wants him to wake up. Vegapunk's like, we don't know why it attacked 200 years ago. If he woke up, it'd be bad. We see a flashback of it, like of the robot attacking Marie Joie. And I swear, if you just clipped this out, you could convince someone it wasn't One Piece.
Yeah.
You never really see Marie Joie. Like, the iconography of that, like, castle building and the robot, and just, like, it's, like, color-graded, gritty way that works for the flashback, it makes sense. But I just think, like, my immediate thought was, this doesn't look like the rest of the show in a way that I think is fun and compelling. So you should try and trick someone, I guess, is what I'm saying. But it ran out of power.
The only way you could tell is because you could see the bubble Celestial Dragon outfits.
Even then, I feel like you could probably, like, that's not, if you ask someone to name off all the iconography and stuff they know from One Piece, like a regular fan, they're probably not going to get to, oh yeah, and then these rich assholes have bubble helmets. Like, that's not high on the list. I don't know if that's going to come to someone through osmosis, even with, like, the popular Luffy punching a guy gif. I'm not really thinking about his bubble helmet in those moments. My spouse, I should try and show it to. Who I guess Charlos is in Film Red. They did see Film Red. Again, maybe not the memorable part of that film. I remember. That's because I'm a sicko. Anyway, so the robot attacked Marie Joie, ran out of power. Scientists of the time could not understand the technology. Jinbei says they probably couldn't today. I mean, it's fun. The feeling of this guy makes stuff so ahead of the curve that it feels out of science fiction. And then I have to wonder if the One Piece world has science fiction. Luckily, they don't actually, like, bring any of that stuff up. There are no unfortunate questions asked that make me dig into a rabbit hole that I don't need to. It's a passing thought. I'm like, why does everybody know what robots are? Where does that come from? Why are they marking out over robots?
That is a good question, because I know science fiction, there's probably, like, stuff you can point to as science fiction. I don't know, science fiction as we know it wasn't until, like, the 1800s-ish is when it started to be more of, like, a thing.
Mm-hmm. It's actually, it all comes from the blank century. They had movie theaters back then. Also, we need to bring dials back. Just whenever we talk about technology in One Piece, I think about that.
Dials and snails. That's everything.
And I guess Vegapunk's like, nah, fuck that shit. I have a computer. Anyways, I guess we know comics exist before someone corrects us. I think, is that the only, like, is it just print and pictures? Like, I know we have several canon books. And we have canon comic books.
We do know they have video broadcasts, so...
But narrative? Scripted?
They probably do.
Actor if not, unions?
If not, there's no unions in One Piece.
Not yet.
I mean, we're going to get a harrowing arc where the Galley Law employees try to unionize and Iceberg calls in Cypher Pole to eliminate them.
Fucking literal Pinkerton. Cypher Pinkerton. Yeah, I mean, that's true. It's interesting because I feel like One Piece has a very left skew of its politics, whether or not Oda is in any way towards the left in real life politics. But even in this episode, Vegapunk talks about his big dream to give everyone infinite energy for free. And Jinbei's like, that'd be cool, because it's one less thing to fight wars over. We just talk about Luffy punching fascist slave owners. He punches dictators all the time. But it would be pretty funny if then, like, just randomly there's a union busting thing. And you're like, oh no, he's doing it on purpose. Fuck, this is what happens.
I was watching something that had, like, a weird union joke.
Pro or anti?
I think it was like, oh, I was watching Good Eats, and there's, like, a gag of the guy's crew was protesting or something with unionizing because he wasn't making leftovers with all the food that he used on the show.
I mean, it sounds like it could be a good bit. It depends on, I guess, some intent and context.
I think it's just supposed to be a goofy thing of guy running the show is an overlord and is megalomaniacal, but
Megamind.
Yeah.
Back in the news. Vegapunk doesn't know where the big robot comes from, which I think is silly. We all know he came from the Brad Bird film. We saw the end of it. He flew up into the sky and said, "I'm Superman."
Yes.
Was stopped a nuke? What was it? I don't remember. It's been a while. Anyway, he just flew to Egghead after that.
Yeah, I was going to say, I never cared for Iron Giant as a kid. It made me feel weird, which is probably the intent, but I can't remember what happens at the end.
It's like a bit, well, yeah, it is, I think, definitely has adult themes of, like, Cold War paranoia and anti-gun, anti-weapon and violence stuff. And then it ends with a big dramatic sacrifice. I don't think I ever saw it front to back as a kid, but I always wanted to. It was one of those things that I would see like trailers or clips for. And then because I didn't have money or the internet, it just became a thing where I was always like, God, I wish I could see that. And then it just existed in my brain as this unachievable object for years. And then you finally watch it and I'm like, yeah, good movie. I feel like I have a lot of things like that. I was just thinking about, because I watched the Blank Check live show thing that they filmed, and they talk about the movie Nine in it, the animated potato sack
movie.
That was also one of those things where I saw that trailer like a million times. I think it was my intro. I'm fairly certain it was my introduction to Coheed and Cambria, which is also life-changing for the worse for me.
Well, you're one of the five people who it wasn't Rock Band.
That's the thing. So, never saw the movie, unachievable object, but I would always think about, man, I loved that song, and I didn't know the name of it, because it's not in the fucking trailer. It's not a music video. Didn't have the internet, couldn't look these things up, even though it was about 2009 by that point. I guess maybe it was just, I didn't know the AOL keyword. I guess that's descriptive of my internet experience at that point. And then I was at a friend's house, and we played Rock Band, and I was like, that's the song! I know that song! So it's a little bit of both. Connective thread there again. Ruined my high school experience by making me a big loser. Now I know what heed tripping is. It's disgusting. I'm a worse person for it. Anyways, one day I'll watch that movie. It kind of seems like it has Bionicle vibes. Now that I kind of know that the story is insane. How did we get it? Oh, Iron Giant. Yeah. Good movie. I enjoy the films of Brad Bird. Government doesn't know that the Iron Giant's here. And I think maybe they do, considering how this episode ends. Or maybe they don't. I don't know. Vegapunk says that the government doesn't know. And Luffy's like, okay, cool, whatever. Can I have it? Can I make it my robot that I drive around? And we get like a glimpse of his like pilot outfit and him driving it around like in his imagination. Great.
Luffy could not pilot that robot. He would try to and it would immediately crash. He would not be able to synchronize with it.
No, and then they'd have him all bandaged up, and they'd be like, Zoro, you have to pilot it, or Luffy will have to do it again.
Zoro piloting it might be the only option that's worse than Luffy.
Yeah, I mean, I just reached for the first name I could think of. I'm not really sure what the best analog is for the bit, but there's definitely something about Zoro piloting a robot and then ending up in Evangelion or something.
Yeah.
Or, I don't know, some other mecha anime. There's other ones. Vegapunk is surprised that Luffy made it to where he is because, you know, he accidentally fell through a hologram wall. And then we check on the other Straw Hats who are still in the lab and watching Luffy and company on a little TV screen. We learn that they also heard all the backstory about the robot. Convenient, useful, and good. Robin's like, oh, 200 years ago, that's when Fishman rights started to get traction. I don't even know that this is relevant or matters. Maybe it will eventually. Shaka's like, oh yeah, that was when they got into the reverie they had a seat at the reverie for the first time. My first thought, is this robot racist? Is this robot showing up like, fuck, direct action? And he's like crushing the reverie. I don't think that's it. Correlation's not causation, but I'm just saying. Anyways, weird coincidence there. It attacked Celestial Dragons until it ran out of juice. And Frankie wonders how it scaled the red line, in which I'd say, I don't know, probably just like lifted its foot. It seems pretty big. I don't know how tall the red line is. These are details I don't need to know. I don't want to know. They also, someone, I don't know if it's Frankie or someone's like, oh, it kind of looks like the big robot that grabbed us when we got here, which is also huge. Don't know how huge, because you don't see its bottom half in the water, but you get to a point where there's no scale. It's like there was a point where I think it was underwater fighting the big shark, and I'm like, I don't know how big these things are. I don't think we talked about it in that episode, but it's like the new Godzilla movie where it's just him and Kong, and it's like, I can't tell what they're big.
Yeah.
They're just standing next to each other in front of nothing. Very funny clip that came out recently from that movie of the Kong, like Godzilla running at Kong and him being like, no, I don't want to fight, like holds his arms out. It's like, no, I don't want to do this. You should look it up if you haven't seen it. It's very funny. You know, I don't know what you'd have to look up to find it, but it's, he also gets a big metal glove. Power source of the robot can't be replicated, even though that they, Vegapunk's like this, you know, perfect mind and made the robot that's based on it. Can't do the power source specifically. And they also recognize Jewelry Bonnie in the video. Don't know that it comes up again in this conversation, but then we go to Vegapunk, who's like, he says that he's like, he can't forgive himself or he's upset, something. He's sorry about what he did to Bonnie, which is an interesting phrasing because he did it to her dad, but I guess that by translation affected her life.
I guess it does also affect her, yeah.
Just the did to her. It's fine. I get it. He also then says that it's fate that brought Luffy here because he wants him to take him away from Egghead, which we then cut to CP0 getting near here on their boat, facing up against a bunch of the Robo Sea Kings. This scene is also how the episode ends. There's just stuff in the middle. Just seeing this group roll up, it's Lucci, Kaku, and Stussy, who we saw maskless, you know, a little bit ago, mask off, and now we see them masked up. And we also see S-Bear. We learn the name of the Kuma Seraphim in this episode, and we see him on the boat.
And the bird also has a mask.
Yes, of course. The bird has the tie and a coat and a mask. Very funny. And a top hat, I think?
Yeah.
He's fucking dripped out.
He's matching Lucci. Like, he has the same mask as Lucci, too.
Great. Love it. Couple's costume. And getting to this point now, it's even funnier to me that they throw Bruno and Khalifa in Film Red as, like, a weird pity thing.
Yeah.
It's like, look, I'm never going to really use you again, so we'll shove you in here. Some of them are in there because they're popular. Is Bart there? Because it's like, Bart's maybe not the funniest character to be in Uta Stan, because that is confirmed as Beppo in the film.
Yeah.
Bart, I think, might also be there just because he has convenient power. That's why Bruno's there. Khalifa doesn't do shit in that fucking movie.
No, she's just kind of there.
They call on the phone. They're like, hello, please let me in the door. Holding up the phone signal to my hand as if anyone can see me. Pythagoras picks up the phone. Ultimately says, no, please go away. Lucci also learns that Bonnie's here. This exchange is interesting to me because he's like, I guess they were after her, but no longer are. Because they're like, she doesn't matter to us anymore. So we'll just kill her if we see her. Where was she previously an interest of yours? I guess she's related to Kuma, which is that? That makes her royalty, right?
I think so.
Or maybe not currently.
Probably doesn't count anymore. There's also a good chance, because when we saw her, like, sneaking around, maybe she knows some things that they don't want her to know.
She knows who Vegapunk is. She's met him, so who knows, yeah. I'm sure we'll eventually figure out some backstory about her.
Yeah.
And it'll be normal and happy.
Yeah, for once.
So Pythagoras, who I didn't realize, I thought I had confused him with Edison. Sorry, all robots look the same to me. Edison's the one in the ending recap thing with Lilith, who had weird fucking fan subs. It's probably on me to some extent for not consistently using the same fan subbers every time I get the episode from my up and up sources. I'm not intentionally sampling them. I just click one. There's no intention behind it whatsoever. So if I ever say something, I'm like, huh, this characterization through dialogue doesn't make any sense to me. That might be self-inflicted. Anyways, Pythagoras, the red one, he says, he walks into the room with the Straw Hats and he's like, hey, CP0 is here led by Rob Lucci. And then all the Straw Hats get to react to it.
Like, oh, fuck.
In ways that make sense. That was a big deal. We all remember. I guess, yeah, everyone here was there. It'd be funny if Brooke was here and he's like, who?
Yeah, I'm fucking going to say, Brooke's not there and Jinbei's somewhere else. So,
yeah,
yeah, the guys, what was it? Who popped up where Brooke was like, I don't know this guy, fill me in.
I don't remember, but I know it's happened. I can't remember. Jinbei, I think, would know who he is.
Yeah, Jinbei would.
Maybe. I don't know. The CP stuff is supposed to be like secret government stuff, which I think is easy to forget when it's been known to us for probably over half of One Piece now at this point. It's introduced early by some extent, I guess, comparatively.
Yeah, first appearance, episode 229.
So we know from secret government agencies. So maybe, but like, I don't know, I'm thinking of Jinbei having the conversation with who's who. And also just because he's an adult that knows things and he was a warlord, maybe he knows. I don't know. It's not like when who's who was like, I was as good as Rob Lucci, that Jinbei's like, I don't know who that is. Give me another comparison point, idiot. You can't compare yourself to a secret government agent to make yourself seem cool. I don't know. That would have been a good bit if I knew it at the time, but it's too late now. Lilith is like, we should just turn them in. Turn the Straw Hats in. It's fine. This is good. But no, Shaka says, we're going to not let them in. We're going to reject them. Turn them away at the port. And this is when we see Seraph and Kuma on the boat, I think for the first time. I didn't notice them in the previous shot. Maybe that's just me. And then we cut to the real Kuma. This is an interesting scene.
Yeah.
Plugged up to some cables. He's being repaired, I guess, by the Revolutionary Army on, I don't know why I said it like that, on the, what's that, Kamabaka Kingdom? Is that it? Queendom?
Yeah, Queendom.
He's there, but he's, like, suddenly trying to get away. Like, we just kind of cut to him getting up and, like, trying to get away from all these cables and moving around, pulling giant plugs off of his nipples like he's escaping from the Matrix. He's running away and he keeps tripping and falling down like the Magica opening. Everyone's like, oh, but he shouldn't have any sense of self. I don't know what's going on. Ivankov says that Linus, like, oh, the Revolutionary Army's fight's only beginning, which is, I think, interesting. Not that there's anything to say about it. I just think it's an interesting inclusion. And Kuma does escape by using his pawpaw power on himself. Now, this is where our sidebar has to be for the whole episode. Because, I'm not surprised that he can use it on himself. That's fine. That makes sense to me. Whatever.
Yeah.
The visual language has always implied to me that when he taps someone, he, like, swings his arm. I would assume they keep flying in that direction, the way the arm goes.
Yeah.
Does that make sense to you?
Yeah.
He runs away in this scene, and then he taps his chest. Well, that sent him the opposite direction he was running. Why was he running that way? Just tap yourself to begin with. When he tap himself, do it make him go backwards?
I would assume it's because it's to, like, so he can get a distance away from them and then safely do it before they could, I don't know, stop him in some way.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I don't actually care. I think. Or I could just commit to it and never give away that what I'm doing is jokes on the podcast. He could have just done it without, like, can you imagine he just does it and then, like, the cables are just left there? Like, he doesn't even bother getting the cables off. He just does it and they get torn away.
Or he just flies away with the cables attached.
That'd be fine, too. Have we ever seen people flying through the air post-pawpaw fruit? Or is that just something I've thought about enough?
It has been
supplanted into my memory.
I'm pretty sure we saw a little bit of it when he sent everyone away. I feel like we saw it in, like, flashbacks and stuff. I'm pretty sure we've seen it.
Either we've both made it up separately from one another. So please confirm. Vote now on your phones. And also let us know if it pushed him backwards when he paused himself. And that's the eye catch after there. There's not a ton left, I guess, after this. It's mostly just finishing, I guess, some of the scenes that were in the last first half, because Pythagoras is on the phone with CP0 and is like, hey, no thanks. We don't want any. Don't come in. Place is a mess right now, but we will take Esper. Just let him come back on his own. Yeah. Sorry we can't meet you halfway to pick up our joint custody child. Then Lucci's like, okay, but what about these disappearances? And all the Vegapunks are like, I don't fucking know. What are you talking about? Lucci says that various government groups, like CP75, he goes through all these different cipher pole groups that had come here to visit Vegapunk or to do something with Vegapunk and have not returned. Lucci's like, what's the deal with those disappearances? Lilith grabs the phone and yells at them. And Pythagoras is like, I don't know. Didn't have anything to do with us as far as we're concerned. They left. They, like, left the port normally. Then Lucci hangs up and is like, all right, well, guess we're going to get it in the hard way. And back to Luffy, he asks Vegapunk why he wants to leave his lab. Isn't this your, you know, isn't this where you do all your work and stuff? And Vegapunk has this big, again, animated sequence, very pretty, very vibrant, where he goes around. He talks about, like, his future island and everything that he makes here being so wonderful. And yet he still has too many great ideas that resources and time can't keep up with, even with fucking 6 satellite clones. And he wants to have free energy for everybody. And when he gets to this big conclusion of what his goal is, Luffy's like, sorry, that doesn't mean anything to me.
I don't get it.
I've never paid a bill in my life. Why would this register at all? I'm not a normal person. It's a banana. How much could it cost? Or whatever this is. Yeah. Great sequence, though. Jinbei understands, and we talked about this a bit at the top of the episode, the one less reason to fight wars. That'd be great. Vegapunk's like, yeah, but okay, so I've been working on it. And the closer I get to cracking this energy question, the closer I get to something that can power the robot. And I'm scared of that because I know I won't be able to stop myself from trying the robot.
At least he's honest.
At least he's honest. It's very funny. The candid way he says it obviously echoes real things, real moral quandaries. He's like, also, I dug too deep into history and the government's going to kill me. Okay, bye. And then the episode ends. It's like there's an explosion just in the far distance, which we can assume is CP0. You don't have to assume it if you watch the next time on, but you can assume it for now. Jory, you don't watch the next time on.
No.
But that's the big to be continued there is, like, he knows Vegapunk's like, I know about O'Hara, so the government's going to kill me. Which I guess, you know, help, please, bye. That's the end of the episode, to be continued. Yeah, great out. Lots of fun. Good bits. They've gotten better at lore dumps, I think, in Egghead, which is good because there's a nonstop barrage of them.
They're playing catch up.
But it doesn't feel like it. I don't feel like I'm doing homework every Sunday when we do this podcast. So that's good. That's ideal. What really matters is that the podcast is fun. More than anything else. But yeah, so then the recap at the end is Ivankov. That's when Lilith and Edison talk about Ivankov, in case you didn't remember who they were or needed some recap of their exploits.
That's such an interesting choice of who to remind us of.
They show up in the episode.
I feel like there's other people who've showed up that they're just like, nah, forget about it.
I'm trying to think of who they haven't already done, because I think they did Kuma. I know they did Lucci. I'm not keeping track of this because it doesn't matter to me, but I'm like, I don't know, we didn't see Kaku's face or Stussy. I guess you could have done them. There probably is someone better, but
tell me about the bird. Tell me about what's his deal.
Oh yeah, sure. isn't his name Hattori?
Yeah, because I know Tori is Japanese for bird. I'm not sure what the beginning part is. I'm sure it's some kind of joke.
Okay. Yeah. Well, he does wear a hat.
That's true. They can just give. It's like there's a bird. Back in Galila, Lucci didn't talk, and people thought, and he said it was just the bird that could talk, but it turns out Lucci could talk, and he was also a Fed.
Yeah.
What a betrayal.
Yeah. Yeah, in the French dub, they call the bird Chapeau Oiseau.
Oh, interesting.
So that's a joke for Tin. That's a joke. I don't know that they call him that. That's just hat bird in French. You were too impressed by that, I had to wheel it back in.
Look, I'd believe it.
That's our episode. What's the fucking Hatiful boyfriend.
Oh yeah,
that's it. So maybe hat is a root word there that matters, because I remember at the time when I was first watching Water 7, that game still had cultural relevancy, and I remember taking a screenshot of the bird with like fire reflected in its eyes during the big reveal of Water 7 and tweeting Hatiful boyfriend bad ending. So that's the only reason I remember that, is I guess what I'm saying. Anyways, that's our episode. We're going to do some plugs now. Stick around for Jory's always correct predictions of what happens next time. So, Jory, where could people find you on the internet?
No, I'm Jory. Anywhere Jory can be found. Jory.zone on the blue sky. I haven't posted my dog in a while, but...
Fucked up.
Maybe I'll do that more, just to give you a reason.
Depriving the people.
You can see me be mad that I woke up and the new Rock Band guitars were sold out immediately.
Oh yeah, I didn't even bother.
I woke up and saw that they went live at like 6 a.m. our time. I was like, fuck this.
Damn. Yeah, I woke up at 6:30 today. It's still probably too late.
Where can we find you online?
Twitter, social media is Ghost of Joe, Ghost of J-O. I am still waiting on some stuff, finish getting stuff together so we can share and release the documentary that I put together. on Orlando DIY musician Mark with a C. The documentary is called Have Serious, Have Kidding. It'll be available for rent, and we're going to do a Kickstarter to get physical copies made with a soundtrack, a bunch of stuff that I will be sharing once all the pieces are in place. I'm quite literally just refreshing a page twice a day, waiting on something to happen. and then we'll be able to move along. But I will be sharing that stuff on Twitter. I'll probably post on the Discord once. But I'm also on like Blue Sky, Instagram, other stuff if you care about social media, which increasingly people aren't, which might be good. I don't know yet.
Probably.
Hard to say. Because all I see on social media is things getting worse. So it's a difficult metric. Another thing, I am giving a presentation at a conference. The conference is called Queer Trans Futures, and I submitted to give a presentation on films in which people film themselves, some of the different effects of stories like that. I think there's a virtual way to attend it. So once I have more information about that, I will also be sharing that online. It's been fun to watch a lot of those movies and do a bunch of reading about it. I have a trans take on Chronicle that'll knock your socks off. But anyways, that's that. Some plugs for the podcast. We are also still on Twitter, unfortunately. Actually, the We Are feed's not that bad. It's mostly One Piece, so it's fine.
It's mostly art.
Yeah. We Are Watching OP is our Twitter handle over there. You can follow us for, you know, we post about when these episodes come out. Sometimes we tweet jokes or screenshots and stuff. Retweet art. People send us, our listeners send us stuff that we retweet. In our show notes and also in our Twitter bio, you'll find a link to our Discord server where you can come hang out, talk about the anime, the manga, the card game, other stuff. I feel like I've seen a lot of Digimon talk lately, which fucking goes over my head, but I'm happy for you. Yeah, the Discord's great. Always great to check in there a couple times a day. There's two ways you can support us. Well, there's several ways if you want to like review us on iTunes or tell your friends or stupid shit like that. But one way is that we are sponsored by Tokyo Treat and Soccer Co. If you want to get one of those boxes, every month you get a box of snacks. I think this month you might still have time for the soccer, one of the soccer themed boxes. But if you've never done it before, you can get $5 off your first box with one of our links. We have a link for Tokyo Treat and Soccer Co. In the show notes, and code JORYJOE, all caps, no space, to get you that. Thank you if you do. Share with us. It tells them that they, you know, people that listen to our podcast also like them. And that's good, because then they keep liking us, and we care so much about people liking. And then the other way you can support us is Patreon, where you can give us just a dollar a month, or more if you want to. Appreciate it. At patreon.com/wearewatchingop. Get you these episodes a little bit early. They'll be ad-free. Once a month we do sort of extended ad breaks. We talk about the box of the month coming up. We also do a monthly bonus episode each month. This month we are going to do a commentary track of the second Dragon Ball movie.
Yeah.
which our reasoning is, of course, a mix of Toriyama's passing, which we want to sort of do something Dragon Ball adjacent. But also, right around the same time, there was like a big 4K scan of a film print of this movie, which will not affect anyone listening to the commentary track.
No, but it's cool.
Which I just want to point that out, but we're sticking with it. We're going to do that over there. So it's cool. We'll enjoy it, and we'll tell you how good it looks the whole time. And you can find it, I'm sure. I mean, it's out there. We found it, but
yeah,
we're not going to be posting the video or sharing a link to it. So just, you know, leave it at that. And the other thing you get for your patronage is that we shout out the names of all of our patrons in these episodes. It is my turn this week. Thank you to A to Z Couple. Thank you to... Ah!
Oh, no, you cut out there. So I missed what it was.
Oh, I just screamed. I hope that it did justice to whoever typed out all those A's. And Adam B, Adam W, Alex, Ali, Anton, Becca, Blue Sunrise, Brittany, Bussy Bussy, comma, no, me. Great bit. Really mainly works in text. Captain Moke, Chad, Chance, Connor, Dame Dalla, Damien, David A, David D, Deus Equus, Eric V, Fig, Forrest, Foony, Gage, Got It Memorized, Heidi, I Hate the Human Fruit Model Jory.
Oh, no.
I think there's only one of those.
There is, it's true.
Jay Harkins, Jacob, Jesse, Jiminy's Journal, Joe, Jomini, Josh, Junesong91, Cat D, Kevin, Kofi, Kyle, Lena, Lucas, Luke, Maddie, Maggie, Ma, My Perona, Mallory, Melbeast, Milo, Morgan, My Buddy, Nick, Peter, Phoenix Ryu, Punk 55, Toriyama, Legend, Riley, Rodsters, Roger D, Ryan, Ryan W, Screed, Snowy Scale, Space Jockey, Stephen D, Stephen R, Tangle, The Bussy Bussy Know Me, Mythical Model, Neku, bit, the Cat Fangs, The Vegapunk Is Coming and Everybody's Jumping, took me a second, The Woke Mob Psycho 100, The Lost Crab Rangoon, Trey, Tristan, Trying to Give Shanks That Brain Fruit, Veda Key, Verdigris, and Ya Boy. Thank y'all so much for supporting us on Patreon. Great list this week. And I think that's everything for our episode, which means, Jory, it's time for you to end us, put an end to us by saying what's going to happen next time on One Piece.
They're trying to turn away Lucci, and Lucci wants to come in and fight, guys. So Lucci's going to go, okay, fine, I won't come in. And then he's going to sneak the boat away to the side so that when they open the doors to see if Lucci's still there, he's going to run in really quick. He's going to be like, ha-ha, tricked you. You thought I was gone.
Mm-hmm. Not vampire rules on
Lucci. Yeah, Lucci does not need your permission to enter. He just needs the door to be open. He can't open doors himself.
He's like, I mean, he's a cat. It makes sense.
He's going to scratch at the door and walk away. Much like the gag in a bad movie I watched on Friday, where a woman pretending to be a cat and is dating a sort of like with another woman, and a part that causes strife in their relationship is her scratching at the door to be let in and out constantly.
Great bit. Feels lived in, true to the cat experience. I did see you log that movie in. You were not brave enough to give it a star rating.
I can't.
It transcends rating, scoring.
Yes.
Well, that's all true. Lucci's going to scratch at the door next week. We'll see if he gets let in accidentally. Till then.
To be.
Continued.
Boom, boom.